If you can. Now, if you're in this shape, this poor fella here, he's falling and he can't get up. He can't down. I don't know where that come from, folks. Honest to goodness. That's not for Halloween. That's to illustrate that we're rescuing the perishing. Somebody'd have to help a poor man in a shape like that. When they told me it was Brother Danny's birthday, I said, well, he's got his sunglasses on or his toboggan. But it wasn't him. I don't know who it is. He's going to take a shouting spell here in a minute. But if we'll talk about rescuing. Now, the 911, you'll notice that it's not like it is on TV. On TV, it's just 911. We got 91-1. And that's supposed to mean the year that we're in, 91. And the one over there, you can see where it says, when one in 91. And so it's kind of a double meaning there in that we're using the 911 rescue thing, but it means that we're trying to win somebody to the Lord in 1991. The task is urgent. And I hope that you will help us as we try to reach those that are perishing. Caring for the dying. The problem is, the only difference between what we're doing spiritually and what they're doing physically with the workers uptown is that many of the people that we're rescuing don't want to be rescued. And that's what makes it difficult. That's what makes Christians back off. We're rescuing people that sometimes don't realize the danger that they're in. Now in Acts chapter 23, we see this word that we're dealing with, 23:27. Acts 23:27. For time's sake, I'll just read that one verse and quickly bring you a thought. Acts 23:27. This man was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now he's telling there about this fellow Paul here who had been captured, and they said, I got an army and went and rescued him before he was killed. Now, I looked up the word rescue. I figured I knew what it meant, but I wanted to see what the dictionary said. And the dictionary said this, rescue, quote, to save from danger or harm. Now, that means keeping a kid from a bicycle wreck, keeping somebody from getting snake bit, or helping them out of a wrecked automobile. This thing, I think, is a good thing. This 911 thing that's going on in our country, I think it's probably proved that has already saved many, many lives. Whereas a person sometimes can't think or can't get to a phone book, they can just reach and grab a telephone or mash their little beeper and it dials 911 and just in a very, sometimes I think they got it fixed now to where they can tell where the phone call's coming from so they can come to your address and help you if you've fallen and you can't get up. Now, there's a lot of people in this world spiritually that have fallen and can't get up. Do you know that? They cannot get up. They cannot help themselves. They need somebody to rescue them. So what I'd like to do this morning, is I'm going to take that word, rescue, and I'm going to let each one of those letters, R-E-S-C-U-E, stand for something that illustrates our task that we have as Christians. Now, I want every child of God here this morning to get a burden for rescuing sinners like we have never, ever had before. I'll tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't rescue them, no other group in the world will rescue them. The clubs, the Kiwanis, the Moose, or the Lions Club, they have their purposes, and it's not rescuing people from hell. That's the church's job. And if the church don't do it, it just will not get done. Now, I want to take that letter R this morning, break it down real quick and brief for you, and I want this to stick in your mind as a Christian. Take that word R, letter R this morning. That's going to represent rush. Rush. There is no time to waste. It is something that needs to be done very quickly. when a building's burning down and the number rings up here at the fire department, those men don't fool around. They get their jackets on. They get their helmet. They have all the proper equipment that they need for that fire truck to put that fire out. They jump in that thing, sling the door open, take out of there. How many of you have been driving down the road and somebody saw one of these ambulances come up behind you, and it's got lights flashing all around that thing, and sometimes you'll be going, woo, woo, like that boy, and that thing, you'll hear it coming up behind you, you see those lights flashing off and on like that, red and white and every color on top of it. You know what you need to do, don't you? You need to move out of their way. Let them come through. They may have somebody in there that's dying. They may have somebody in there that only has a few minutes to live. They may have somebody in there that will be in eternity in just a few minutes. They're saying, clear the way. Get out of our way. Nothing else matters. Get this man to the hospital. You say, well, there's a red light. Fully on the red light. They go right underneath it. You say, there's a stop sign. They go right through the stop sign. Listen, they are to rush that man to get... Listen, those little stop signs and red lights in our life that keep us from witnessing for God and keep us from getting people saved, we ought to just ignore them and get that person to God. There's a rush on this thing that I'm talking about. I feel sorry for these missionaries having to spend weeks and months and sometimes years trying to raise their support when there are people there that if they don't get to them quick, we'll be dead. There's a rush to our task that we have this morning. Let me tell you something, brother. You see that lost person that you work with every single day. You brush shoulders with them. You keep saying that you're going to witness to them. You have intentions of witnessing to them. But little things stop you. You know what? One of these days you're going to go by their house and there'll be a wreath on that door. You'll go by that house and there'll be a little sign out front that says, slow. It happens, people. It happened. We was talking recently about this special that was on TV, and I didn't catch what it was. I just saw maybe 30 seconds of it, and they was telling about this woman. You might have saw it, some kind of documentary about this woman who was being attacked by a man, and this man was fixing to beat her up or rape her or something, and she called the police. They sent somebody out to check on it. By the time that policeman got there, the woman had been brutally abused and now is paralyzed from her neck down. And they began to question the policeman, and they found out that he had stopped at a restaurant to get something to drink and just took his time getting over there, and now the woman is paralyzed. And they made a movie out of it or something. And it was a case where that a person had a rush to get somewhere, but instead just kind of just fooled around and messed around a little bit. And by the time they got there, it was too late. And that woman's paralyzed from here down for the rest of their life. And most of us would say, oh, isn't that terrible? That man should be fired when there's an emergency. He should run and drive fast and not stop just to get something to drink or go to the restroom, but rush to save that person's life. And I agree with you. You're right. It should be like that. But listen, look at all the trivial little things you and I just fool around with day by day when there is a rush to keep people out of hell that's going to burn forever and ever and ever. Listen, that word rescue this morning, that letter R, means rush. Get on the ball. Don't wait. Don't put it off. That nephew of yours that's not saved, get to him before it's too late. That cousin that's been on your heart for a while. That next door neighbor that lives over from you. My soul, time is short. Rush and get them to the house of the Lord. Bring them to Jesus. Tell them about God. There's people dying every single day. They say two a second dies in this world. About every time I snap my fingers, there's somebody going into eternity. Think about that. They're falling, falling, falling. And most of them are not saved. Most of them do not go to heaven. They wind up in hell and scream and burn forever and ever. There is a definite rush on what you and I are doing. I don't know if you realize it or not, but they say this. Statistics say that if you lined up all the lost people in the world, every person in the world that does not know the Lord, if you lined them up single file, beginning at your front door, that the line just standing end to end like that would reach around the world 30 times. 30 times around planet Earth of lost people in this world. And the line grows 20 miles a day. Did you hear what I said? There is a line. If you stood lost people up, one after another, there is a line from here to Morganton of them that was not lost yesterday. They're growing up, reaching the age of accountability, choosing to reject Jesus Christ 20 miles a day, brother. 140 miles long of them since we was here on last Sunday morning. If you drove 10 hours a day in your car, 50 miles an hour, it would take 4 years and 40 days to drive past them all. And every one of those are lost. One, two, three, four. You could drive by a solid line of 4 years long and never pass all the lost people in this world. Jesus Christ came from heaven and shed His blood for every single one of them. I tell you, it makes me sick to hear people throw off on missionaries. It makes me gag to hear people say, I don't believe in giving to mission. I don't believe in giving out tracts. I don't believe in witnessing. Listen, brother, there's 20 miles a day. 4 years it'd take you to drive past them. Somebody needs to take the command of God serious and rush to get people saved by the grace of God. Amen. We are found to find another. We are told to tell another. We are one to win another. We are saved to get another saved. That's why God leads you down here. But let's take that letter E this morning. That second letter in that word represents emergency. Now, brother, when there's a call, I've never been up here in the offices much around when there's an emergency call comes in, but I imagine they've got some kind of light that flashes or a bell that rings or something that said this is emergency. When something is an emergency, it shows us the nature of our call. It shows us the need for immediate action. It shows us that nothing else is more important. It shows us that our feeling. I've heard people say, well, I don't even go visiting no more because somebody slammed the door in my face or they cussed me out, wouldn't take a track, and I just ain't going to witness no more. Listen, brother, this is an emergency. This is an emergency. An emergency is more important than your feelings. An emergency is more important than what you like to do or what you don't like to do. Now, personally, I would not like to go, if the building across the street caught on fire. I would not personally like this morning to run out of this church and go over there and breathe in smoke, you know, and go through there, you know, and just get my hands black and all of my, and my Italians is making fun of. I get these times like this because you can go out and eat, you know, and eat spaghetti, whatever you want to, drop it on our Chinese food. Nobody will never see it. And it just blends right in. I would not want to go. I wouldn't want to go there and put my hands on that black. I wouldn't want to. Does anybody in here would like to do that? No. But I'll tell you what. If a bunch of these little kids was over there in that building this morning, listen, it wouldn't matter what I wanted, right? It wouldn't matter about my clothes. It wouldn't matter about my hands. But I'd just drop everything and say, folks, we'll take up this sermon next time there's an emergency. I'd run down this way. I'd run over here. I'd go out the door. I'd knock that door open. I'd run over there. I wouldn't even think about getting my hands dirty. There's an emergency. There's lives that need to be saved. I wish to the Lord. Listen, the devil's playing a trick on church people. People are dying every week right here in McDowell County. We've got an emergency on our hands. We've got to rescue the perishing care for the dying. I want to tell you something else too, brother. They're not just going to the hospital where they can recover. They're going to hell where they can't never get out. We ought to have a track in our hand, a witness in our heart, and a word for Jesus on our lips. Rescue them. It's an emergency this morning. But then let me show you that letter S. That letter S represents the need they have. Salvation. You know, sometimes if a man has a heart attack And they'll come and they'll rush to where he is. They'll get down there and they'll rush him and they'll do something. I don't know what they did to him. They'll mess around with him, hook him up something, beat him, make him try to breathe and do all kinds of things because his need is for his heart to start beating. His need is to keep him alive. That's his need. We have a much greater need than this morning. Salvation is people's need. Salvation from sin. Repenting from sin and turning to the Lord. Now, did you know a lot of times when people have a heart attack, their life is never the same after that. Their lifestyle changes after that. Their diet changes. Their habits change. If they live, brother, salvation is the same way. When somebody gets saved, their diet changes. Their lifestyle changes. Their habit changes. We have an emergency. The need is salvation. Brother, it's not heart monitors that we go and put on them. It's the old book of God and tell them, sir, listen, a long time ago, Jesus died for you. Life don't make no sense without it. There's no purpose or meaning in life if a man's not saved. By the way, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you are in an emergency situation. Jesus could come before we get out of this building or you could die. It's an emergency that you get down here and get saved today and not tomorrow, not next week. You know, that morning, it's hard for me to talk about, but my dad died with a heart attack December 30th of last year. It'll be a year this December 30th. And our workers from up here come down there and they done the best they could, but they said it was too late when they got there. I just got out of church, took the girls to get something to eat. They called me, said, Danny, get home. I said, what's wrong? He said, it's your daddy. I said, what's wrong? One of the workers, the EMS workers, got on the phone and said, he's gone, Danny. Your daddy's gone. I went home that day. And Dad was still laying there in his bedroom floor. And it's too late. Too late to tell him I loved him. Too late to say, Daddy, you've been good to me and you took care of me and you've been my best friend. Couldn't tell him nothing. It was over. Now, what I've got this morning, I've got the promise of seeing Daddy again because Daddy got saved. I'm telling you this morning, you listen to me. You hear me this morning. You listen to me. That brother of yours, that sister of yours, that mama, that dad, or that next door neighbor, if they're not saved, you say, well, Brother Danny, I'm going to witness to them. Hey, brother, one of these days may be too late. Their need is salvation, and they'll never, ever, ever get saved if they die lost without God. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. A man dies and leaves this world, he's going to one of two places and stay there. He ain't a coming back. The need is salvation. The letter C stands for care. Those people got to care. If we don't care, you won't go. Brother, I believe that our generation of Christians is about the less caring group that's ever been on this earth. Lord have mercy. All we care about is our own little thing, our own problem. Listen, you know what? You know what some of you people that's got all your problem you need to do? You need to get out about one day a week and go knock on somebody's door or get out here and go with one of these bus workers. And brother, you would realize that you ain't in better shape as you thought you was. And brother, there's always somebody else in worse shape than you are. You just got to care about that person. Care for the dying. Care for the dying. Could a mariner just sit by and ignore the people's cry? Could a doctor sit and just let his patients die? Could a captain go and just let the boat go down and show no alarm? Can we sit at ease in Zion while the world around us is doomed? We need to care, folks. We need to care. We need to witness everywhere. There's no such place as a place that you can't witness. Somebody said that when the Titanic went down, matter of fact, after the Titanic went down, there's some people that had got rescued in a testimony meeting. And this one fellow stood up and he said, I was on the Titanic the night it went down. He said, we were out there and we was floating. He said, we was grabbing hold of just anything we could get hold of. Pieces of wood, old broke pieces of the ship. We'd just grab on something. We'd float around on it like that. And he said, we'd float around out there. And he said, it just so happened that I floated near that Baptist preacher, John Harper. And he said, me and him come by. He said, that man looked over at me. He was in as much danger as I was. He was hanging on to that broken piece of the ship. And John Harper looked over that night in those icy waters of the Atlantic, where many had already died, no doubt, and looked over and said, man, is thy soul saved? And the man looked back at him and he said, no, I fear it is not. And he said, the waves come between them. They drifted away from each other. And he said, in a few minutes, those waves brought them back together. He seen that preacher again. That preacher's hanging on over there. He said, man, is thy soul saved? He looked back and he said, no, sir, I fear it is not. And he said, John Harper said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And he said, it wasn't long after that, I think the preacher went down and drowned. But he said, right there that night, with 2 miles of water underneath me, floating in the icy waters of the Atlantic, I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved me that day. I was John Harper's last convert. And I'm telling you, there was a man dying. There was a man whose own life was in danger. There was a man who had problems, but he still was caring about another man who was going to hell and wanting to God just like that. You don't know how God might use your testimony if we just get a good old dose of caring. You know what a bunch of us need to do? We need to get on the altar this morning and ask God to break our heart and make us care about lost people again. Listen, there's some of you, you've learned to turn a deaf ear when I mention visitation. You've got your mind made, you've hardened your heart. It don't mean anything to you. You don't even care. You say, well, I witness when I get an opportunity. And you do that to relieve your conscience sometimes. I'm telling you, brother, there is not just on Thursday night. There's people that you work with every day. There's people that you go to school with every day that need rescuing, that need caring. My soul, what's it going to take for us to cause us to care? One more. That letter E shows what's at stake. Eternity. Eternity. Shows the price of failure. If we don't rescue them, they're lost for eternity. They said years ago, a little old boy came to Sunday school and they named him Little Johnny, and he's the meanest kid in the church. As a matter of fact, some of the well-to-do people in the church didn't even like for him to come. And they went to the pastor, a Sunday school teacher. One of them said, listen, if you don't get that kid out of this Sunday school, we're taking our family out. I don't want that kid back in this church no more. And so they quit bringing him to church. He is a little rowdy. He's rough looking. He wasn't dressed as nice as the other little kids. And so they quit bringing little Johnny to church. He grew up and changed the history of the United States, became one of the most notorious killers and criminals ever lived. His name is John Dillinger. And who knows how different history might have been if those people kept bringing that little boy to Sunday school, teaching him about God. Who knows? Who knows? You know what? Our prayer should be, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few they are that seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me a soul today. I wonder how many Christians in here this morning that you'd make up your mind this morning, just say, God, I'm going to keep praying. And I'm not going to quit praying until you bless me with a soul. I want to win somebody to you. Oh, preacher, I believe you got to feel led. Well, how come you don't ever feel led then? There ain't nowhere in that Bible where it says you witness when you feel led. That Bible said, go! Go in the highways and hedges! Compel them to come in! God wants His people to witness. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. You know how long eternity is? You listen to me this morning if you're not saved, and I'm going to close.
You know how much a million is? You know what I mean? Million is in a billion. You know what I mean? Billion is in a trillion. You imagine 100 million trillion years. That's how long a person's going to be in hell. They say if you took a solid steel ball the size of this earth and you let an eagle come down and swoop down from the sky and take his wing and just brush across that ball and fly around for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years is over, come back by and brushes across it again. And he flies around for another 1,000 years. And then he comes back by and brushes again. When it wears that steel ball down to the size of a marble, eternity's just starting. Just starting. Them people that died and went to hell in the Bible have only been there 2,000 years. They ain't even got good and started. It's over, bro. It's over. Forever and ever. Ever and ever. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. I need to rescue the perishing. I need to care for the dying. You say, preacher, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. When you start thinking about how long a person will be in hell, I realize that I'm not saved. And that's what's going to happen to me. We have a lot of visitors here this morning. I don't know who I've talked to this morning. We have people here this morning, maybe this is the first time you've ever been here. I want to tell you something this morning. If we get ready to close, this may be your day that God sent you here so you can be saved. Turn this on, Bill. God may be dealing with your heart right now. You say, preacher, I can't rescue nobody because I need to be rescued. They're coming to get us a song. I'd like for every head to be bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian. You say, Brother Danny, I need to be involved in rescue work. There's somebody that works right beside me and I haven't witnessed to them. But by the grace of God, I'm going to get on the ball and I'm going to get on fire and I'm going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and try to rescue somebody. Maybe somebody here that God's calling to preach or be a missionary. I don't know. There may be somebody here that say, preacher, when you was talking about going to hell and being there for millions and millions and millions of years, it scared me. It bothered me. Let me tell you something, dear lady. God loves you. Ma'am, the Lord cares about you this morning. And He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants to save you this morning. We've already got some coming to the altar this morning. God, oh, church, what an opportunity for us to rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. What we got going on here in the next few weeks. Oh, it might be somebody's last chance. It's an emergency. This is an emergency. More than any this world's ever seen. Rush to the task. Dear God, I pray that You'd burn these thoughts in our hearts this morning. Lord, that we might learn to rescue the perishing, that we wouldn't let little trivial things stop us or hinder us from being what You want us to be. God, I pray for these that are on the altar and these that will be. Lord, that You'd meet every single need of their heart. I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl here this morning who's never been saved. Lord Jesus, save them this morning. May Your will be done in their lives. Help them to know this could be the greatest day of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our prayer should be, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few they are that seem to care.
and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me a soul today. I wonder how many Christians in here this morning that you'd make up your mind this morning, just say, God, I'm going to keep praying and I'm not going to quit praying until you bless me with a soul. I want to win somebody to you. Oh, preacher, I believe you got to feel led. Well, how come you don't ever feel led then? There ain't nowhere in that Bible where it says you witness when you feel led. That Bible said, go! Go in the highways and hedges! Compel them to come in! God wants His people to witness and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. You know how long eternity is? You listen to me this morning if you're not saved, and I'm going to close. You know how much a million is? You know what I mean? Million is in a billion. You know how many billion is in a trillion? You imagine 100 million trillion years. That's how long a person's going to be in hell. They say if you took a solid steel ball the size of this earth and you let an eagle come down and swoop down from the sky and take his wing and just brush across that ball, they fly around for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years is over, come back by and brushes across it again. And he flies around for another 1,000 years. And then he come back by and brushes again. When it wears that steel ball down to the size of a marble, eternity's just starting. Just starting. Them people that died and went to hell in the Bible have only been there 2,000 years. They ain't even got good and started. It's over, brother. It's over. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. I need to rescue the perishing. I need to care for the dying. The Lord spoke to my heart this morning. When you start thinking about how long a person will be in hell, I realize that I'm not saved. And that's what's going to happen to me. We have a lot of visitors here this morning. I don't know who I've talked to this morning. We have people here this morning, maybe this is the first time you've ever been here. I want to tell you something this morning. If we get ready to close, this may be your day that God sent you here so you can be saved. That's all been. God may be dealing with your heart right now. You say, preacher, I can't rescue nobody because I need to be rescued. They're coming to get us a song. I'd like for every head to be bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you a question. I'll ask you a question. If you're here this morning, you're a Christian. You say, Brother Danny, I need to be involved in rescue work. There's somebody that works right beside me and I haven't witnessed to them. But by the grace of God, I'm going to get on the ball. And I'm going to get on fire. And I'm going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and try to rescue somebody. Maybe somebody here that God's calling to preach or be a missionary. I don't know. There may be somebody here that say, preacher, when you was talking about going to hell and being there for millions and millions and millions of years, it scared me. It bothered me. Let me tell you something, dear lady. God loves you. Ma'am, the Lord cares about you this morning, and He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants to save you this morning. We've already got some coming to the altar this morning. God, oh church, what an opportunity for us to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, what we got going on here in the next few weeks. Oh, it might be somebody's last chance. It's an emergency. This is an emergency. More than any this world's ever seen. Rush to the task.
dear God. I pray that you'd burn these thoughts in our hearts this morning, Lord, that we might learn to rescue the perishing, that we wouldn't let little trivial things stop us or hinder us from being what you want us to be. God, I pray for these that are on the altar and these that will be. Lord, that you'd meet every single need of their heart. I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl here this morning who's never been saved. Lord Jesus, save them this morning. May your will be done in their lives. Help them to know this could be the greatest day of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.